Yo, it is about that time. The annual Spring-a-Ling sale at SleevesSoldSeparately.com, our men's athleisure line manufactured in downtown LA. We got some of the best fits and fabrics in the game. Short shorts, longer shorts, joggers, hoodies, tank tops, lots of great stuff available. 30% off of all in-stock items. We're coming into summer here, okay? You got to look good. You got to look right. You put all the work in the gym. Get the right fits to highlight them gains. Go to SleevesSoldSeparately.com today. Again, 30% off all in-stock items. Our annual Spring-a-Ling sale. Hope you guys enjoy the gear. Let's have a great summer together. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Yo, this is BJ Gador with the BJ Gador Podcast, and on this episode, I'm going to teach you how to build your own minimalist home gym, including the top 10 home and travel-friendly training tools. I'm going to share what I have in my own personal home gym setup, which actually doubles as a film studio in a very modest 8x12-foot space. There will be direct links for all recommended training tools in the show notes. And again, I always recommend you go to the bjgador.com site, sign up for my free email newsletter. I tend to follow up with more written text or Cliff Notes versions of some of these newsletters with links where appropriate in my email newsletter, which you can sign up to at bjgador.com. For those new to the show, again, my name is BJ Gador. I'm the former fitness director for the Men's Health brand and the author of Your Body's Your Barbell and my brand new training manual, The Ultimate Push-Up Guide, available as a Kindle or paperback on Amazon. Definitely check out those titles. Now, before I get into this episode, I want to touch on what you heard at the start of the show, which was a recording of this sick, twisted bastard that sat next to me in the sauna this past weekend. I don't use my phone in the sauna. In fact, that's one of the rules that I break down in my sauna etiquette episode. It was done a couple weeks back at the time of recording this. Definitely recommend you check that one out. Pretty entertaining, but also I think it's a public service announcement because we've got a real problem right now in fucking saunas. What you heard was not me, okay? This was someone in the sauna. I had to bring out my phone and record this because I could not believe what I was experiencing. You know, the sauna is an echo chamber. You're in a tight, dark, enclosed space with people, you know, and I caught what was the tail end of this guy on a 10 belching binge. He burped 10 times in a row. I mean, like, it was so disgusting. And I also think when people listened to this episode on sauna etiquette, they thought maybe I was either making things up or sensationalizing. But every time I go in this fucking sauna, this public sauna, I must be going to the most disgusting sauna in America for some reason. But it is just what it is. Something ridiculous happens, but this was just to me, like, it kind of blew my mind. I texted it to a couple friends to kind of get their input to make sure I wasn't just going crazy. Across the board, everyone said to me, this is unacceptable, disgusting, you know, but I wanted to share it because, like, I wasn't bullshitting you. This is what goes down in public saunas. I thought it would kind of be like common sense. Yeah, don't burp in the sauna. Now, an occasional belch might happen, cover it up, but this guy was like openly belching. He went again like 10 in a row. I caught the tail end of it in the recording you heard. Not really trying to protect or cover his mouth. It was just so fucking disgusting. And so I'll share it with you just so you know I'm not bullshitting you. This does happen and I don't know why. And yes, it gives me another reason to get my own sauna. But like we'll talk about today, like things like the sauna or expensive machines, indoor cardio equipment, they cost a lot of money, they take up a lot of space, and there's also a lot of maintenance involved with them. So I guess I just have to suck it up and keep going to this $10 a month gym to get sauna access in the Stairmaster. Knowing that there's just going to be a guy occasionally that comes in there and just belches and just disgusting. This guy was like, he was grabbing his knees and he was rocking back and forth. Then he did a series of rapid stretches, but it was so grotesque. And I just want you to know it is real. I wasn't bullshitting you. And this does seem to happen in public saunas. So long term, I'm going to try to get my own. In the meantime, maybe I'll keep recording the ridiculous things that happen in the sauna. But please be sure to listen to the full episode, Sauna Etiquette, my top 10 rules in the sauna. One of them was no belching or burping, farting, or queefing. And obviously this man violated the rule. And I had to violate the no phone rule just to get it on the record. I digress. Don't get me going crazy on this, all right? But look, man, I am a big advocate of the home gym. You know, if anything, the pandemic taught us the importance of having an option in case there are shutdowns. And if there is another pandemic, you want to obviously find a way to continue your fitness at home, because gyms are like, they're dirty places. You heard that guy. I mean, I don't know what was going on in that guy's life that he had that type of need to do what he did in that sauna with all these other people around. But, you know, that's what you'll experience in the sauna. Now, obviously, when you're doing stuff in the actual gym setting, you got people looking at you. It's crowded, long waits for equipment, the hassle of commuting back and forth. You know, you got to take control of your fitness. And I think even if you decide to go to the, look, I have my own home gym set up. Now I go to the gym because there are certain things I can't justify purchasing, like a sauna. Even though I would if I could, I'd have it at home. But again, it does have maintenance issues, it can break. And there's also space issues, right? Like it's not necessarily a small thing. And same regard for a Stairmaster. I really enjoy that as a cardio workout. That's tough to legitimize putting in your home space. Even if you have the space, it does take up. It's a space eater, and all you can do is really one thing on it. And it always seems like it's broken at the gym I go to. There's always at least one Stairmaster or stepmill that's broken. So yeah, it gets a lot of high traffic at the gym. But you know, the stuff I'm going to share with you today, you can get a lot of miles out of the stuff. It's affordable. In most cases, you can travel with it and keep your fitness going with you when you are on the road. And look, there's nothing like having your own personal workout space. The autonomy, the freedom, listen to what you want music-wise, you know, do whatever you want. Yeah, belch all the fuck you want in your home gym or home sauna. Take a shit in the sauna if you have to. It's yours. But when you go to a public setting, you can't do this. Unacceptable behavior. This guy should be ashamed. Anyway, you know, I do most of my training from home. I was a big home gym guy well before the pandemic ever hit. My members at thedailybj.com are big fans of my programming because I meet them where they're at. Minimal equipment, minimal time, busy parents and professionals looking to train at home, hotel rooms or hotel or commercial gyms occasionally when needed to mix things up or out of necessity. And we use body weight, resistance bands, dumbbells, some kettlebell, mostly dumbbells, and med balls. Now we also use, for Grillicorn Gains, our more advanced muscle building program, we'll use you know, dip bars, pull-up bars, and stuff like that to kind of round out the training. But you know, it's very possible. And you know, I went through my first home gym back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Was very small, and it was smaller even than my current space. And I had pretty much all the stuff I'm talking about here in this episode, not much else. And then, you know, when I went to Men's Health, we built out towards the end of my stay there this amazing home gym with like really nice Kaiser equipment and Matrix equipment. And by the time we finally built it, it was time for me to leave. And I did. And so it was too late to really enjoy that gym to the full extent. I actually stayed on it a little bit longer, even though I knew I was ready to leave, just because it took so long to finally get all that equipment in that gym. So I'm like, I just want to at least use it before I leave. But I had to leave, and that's what happened. And they were stuck with all that equipment. But anyway, and then we moved after a year after Men's Health. We stayed that extra year in Pennsylvania, where Men's Health was based at the time. And then we made the move to California. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to get a bunch of awesome equipment. I built the Garden of Gains. And got a lot of stuff that no one really had. A lot of this like Pure Motion equipment, really nice power rack, really good landmine barbell setups for landmine training, which is, you know, using one side of the barbell and doing different various exercises like that. And what I discovered was people don't like to see you use stuff they don't have. At least my people didn't. They were so pissed off by it. People like to, I don't know if they like to see you suffer or stay down or whatever else. It kind of blew my mind. Like, I worked my whole life to kind of get these really cool training tools, and then I get them and they're like, you know, what about all the minimal equipment stuff? Well, I already shared all that stuff with you. I continue to do so, but people really got butthurt about me using equipment that was expensive or took up a lot of space, or they didn't have access to at their gym or at home. Some people bought it. Other people were like, oh, this sucks. They unfollowed or just became super negative, which is just, it kind of blew my mind. But again, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm this is what I do. I'm known more as the minimalist home fitness guy. And I guess I got away from the brand a bit and people were upset by that. And, you know, ultimately, the pandemic happens. We made a move from, adjacent to LA to where we live now in the desert, and basically decided to just downsize and go back to my true minimalist setup, because that's really what people seem to enjoy and what resonates with my audience the most. And it's what we make workout wise. And also, like, you know what? I turning 40 and having all this experience, you know, I actually wanted to go back to more of a minimalist setup. You know, one thing people don't consider oftentimes when they build their gym is like, what happens if you move? You got to move all this stuff. It's expensive. Yeah, you can sell it, but that's also a pain in the ass. So the setup I break down with you now today, it's fantastic for full body workouts. You can do all the things you want, and it doesn't require a lot of space. And if you have to move, it makes your move easy. And it's also aesthetically pleasing enough where, I mean, like I said, this doubles as my film studio. This is actually the room you see in all the videos I make in the last several years. That is just to the left of my office where I'm recording this episode. And it's just in front of or behind, based on perspective, our kitchen, our living room. So like, we have an open concept kind of one floor house here in the desert, and a nice big backyard for other stuff. But you can see it, but it looks nice. Now, not everyone is going to want to have a home gym in their house. But for us, it makes a lot of sense. Like, if anything, the pandemic taught us, those wet markets aren't going anywhere. So just in case, something like this happens again sooner than later, you know, we made it through the pandemic because we were fully able to operate our business out of the house, and I could continue doing my workouts at home like I always did. And it didn't affect me whatsoever to not have gym access, right? Because, you know, we operate very lean, and, it just makes a lot of sense for us. And, you know, we can just quickly roll out of bed and film. You know, it's just my operation, that my wife and I's operation is so lean and nimble and agile. And, that's what we need to be small business owners with really not a lot of help or infrastructure behind us. So, we have a lot of fitness pros and content creators that listen to this podcast to us. So I just share that because, you know, this is something to consider when you're building this up, because it was a huge pain in the ass for us when we moved from that Malibu location with all that equipment, just to get all that stuff out. I even had like a 300-pound tire in the backyard, which was a nightmare to get out of there. So you got to understand and consider an exit strategy too. Now, if you live in a place you know you're going to be for a long time, and you can afford to move or get help from movers and all this stuff, do what you got to do. Do you. But the 10 things I'm going to share with you today, it's all you need. It's all you need to get it done. And, you know, if anything, you can still kind of, if you need to go to the gym once or twice a week to mix up the environment, or just, you know, get out of the house, especially if you work from home, which, you know, both my wife and I, like, we've realized, okay, let's maybe once a week we get out of here. Or at least, again, I can access the sauna when I need to, or, you know, just go to the gym and if you do what you want. But ultimately, I do 99% of my fitness at home with these tools, and all of our workouts at thedailybj.com use these tools. So let's start with number one, push-up and dip row bars. These are essentially parallel bars and parallettes. Parallel bars are higher. They allow you the range of motion to do dips ideally so that your knees will be able to touch the floor and get a full range of motion, bend in the shoulder and the elbow, where your upper arm is approximately parallel to the floor or lower. And parallettes are basically smaller parallel bars closer to the ground for more push-up work. So both of those, I think, are critical. We use them a ton. They're excellent, too, because in most cases, you can fit them into trunks or back seats, and they're also really easy to kind of unscrew and break down if needed, if space is an issue in some cases. But I plan on taking them with us when we go do our little August trip to continue my bodyweight training. And, I'm a big fan of these. We use the Libert Fitness equalizer bars. They're really sturdy. They're super stable, and they look good in the gym, which is always good. Again, I'm trying to recommend aesthetically pleasing tools as well, because what I tried to create is like this timeless, like it's called the gym. You see it on the wall, the gym. Like, this is a timeless gym setup. This is always going to be effective. It's not going to be, trends will not affect the way I train. That's everyone else. The flavor of the month people out there, the fucking people just hopping and jumping from one thing to the next. That's not me. I know it works. I am a big fan of the minimal setup, and especially for longevity. You know, this stuff, it's safe and highly effective. So you got to get yourself push-up dip row bars. You want to get both. Now, it's especially helpful for people that have wrist and shoulder issues, because you can use that palms facing neutral hammer grip, and you're grabbing the bars, so you're not actually having to put your wrists into extension. So if you have wrist and elbow and or shoulder issues, these allow for a lot of miles and workarounds for those issues. Now, I'll talk about other things I use, like slam ports, coming up that actually help improve the mobility issues you have. I'm not saying you just work around it entirely and don't train the mobility restrictions you have, but it's also important to use tools when you're doing a lot of repetition and time under tension on them that allow you, my wrist doesn't feel too good today, or I've been working them a lot. Let me just kind of unload this way. And just highly effective tools, you can do on the higher parallel bars. And I go the double XL. I'd recommend it even if you're not a tall person, because it's always better to have extra room to get that full range of motion. Some of their earlier models were a bit shorter to the floor, and you couldn't actually get, if you're a big person with longer arms or limbs, I couldn't actually get all the way down to the floor with my arms fully extended. I'd have to have a slight bend in the arm, which wasn't great. But inverted rows, which are bodyweight rows, you can do your dips, you can do high incline push-ups on these. You can also do a lot of really great lower body mobility drills, like self-assisted split squats or even squats with your hands on the bars to unload yourself, stay in motion longer. I love it for warm-ups, off-day active recovery, or just, really long sets where I'm trying to get a good mind-muscle connection, and that extra stability and unloading, especially if you're heavier, makes it more doable. Really, really important, too, if you have a history of knee issues and it takes a while for you to warm up, or just some days they're a little bit creaky and you just want to unload yourself but still get your body moving through a full range of motion. But there's a bunch of other bodyweight exercises you can do on there, but I'm just talking about in terms of what are the basics that we use those for. It's just every day I'm on them in some fashion. And with the parallettes, they give you a slight inclination off the ground when doing your push-up training, which makes it a little more accessible. Also lets you extend the range of motion so you can go lower than you would if your hands were on the floor. Really getting that good stretch in the chest to maximize the chest gains and, just improve your overall mobility. But I love using them too to do like lunge stretches out of, like push-up lunge stretches. Keeping your hands in the bar allows you to kind of get more stability but more stretch as well. Sometimes on the floor it's a little bit too cumbersome or tough to get into, but that's definitely number one. You want to get two sets of parallel bars, higher and lower based on which movements you're doing. And again, both of these options are very affordable. I believe they're $100 or less or around there. And again, I've had a couple sets of bars from the company I recommend for 6 years, and it holds up. Easy to break down, easy to take with you. Number two, you need a pull-up bar. Just commit to it. I've got a link to a couple Amazon options that are, I believe, $50 or less. One that is easier to break down and take with you when you travel, but only has like the overhand or underhand gripping option, and another that doesn't little larger, maybe not as easy to take with you in the car or when traveling, but gives you all the different gripping options: close, medium, wide, underhand, overhand, and neutral hammer grip. And you could get a pull-up tower, right? And we have one from Fit Home Gym. It's good. I find myself still using more of the door bar than anything else because I feel like it's just easier on my grip. And if there's one thing you can do for just your overall fitness, man, I say it, I'm a broken record with this shit, but the basics are never too basic and they never get boring because you always can improve on them when you get the repetition in. But having it up on the door of my office, anytime I walk by it, which, you know, it's right before I go to the garage to do laundry, before I leave to drive and go make groceries or whatever else, I can hit a hang. Walking in and out of my office, I can hit a hang. It's right next to my gym, so it's actually part of the home gym setup, and I can actually get it on film, and it's so affordable. And I've had the same bar for now 6 years. I brought it with me from Pennsylvania. I've put so much time on that bar, and it gives you so much in return. The shoulder mobility, the spinal decompression, it's basically an unloaded, it's a deadlift. It's the best back exercise without the spinal stress. In fact, it actually decompresses your spine. And, you know, it's such an important exercise to master, but it starts with the hang, and you can even do self-assisted versions on it. That's what I like about the door pull-up bar. It's low enough, you actually can get your feet on the floor, both feet, or make it harder by just going toes in the floor, less assistance that way, or going split stance or single leg. You can do a bunch of twisting and turning on it, all my different hang flows I can do on it that I've shared at thedailybj.com or in various social media outlets. But it's a great investment, and you can travel with it in many cases. And I just think if there's one move to do every day to offset the effects of sitting, commuting, you know, it's hanging from a bar. It really is. Combining that with some sort of squat mobility or down dog, indoor down dog, like those are the kind of the big three mobility in my mind. But you got to get yourself a pull-up bar. Now, three, slant boards, or what I recommend are the squat wedgies. These allow you unique training angles. You know, when we talk about using it for your hands on a push-up, for example, if you elevate the heel of your hand, that actually makes it so it's less stressful on the wrist, important if you have a history of wrist pain or really tight wrists. And it also puts you forward a bit more, so you stress your shoulders more. So even if you don't have a wrist mobility issue, it's a nice little hack you can use to get more shoulder work on your push-ups. Now, if you elevate the fingers on that push-up or plank even, now you're really getting an advanced wrist mobility stretch. When you do it push-up or plank with hands on the floor, like it feels like nothing to you because you've got so much extra range of motion through that wrist, you don't even think about it. A lot of people are so limited on their push-up training because of their tight wrists. So it either allows you a mobility workaround or it can really help give you mutant level of wrist mobility beyond also extending the range of motion from the floor a bit to get a better chest stretch and muscle building stimulus at the bottom of that push-up. And, you know, they're great too because they're really small. They're like, they're about, a foot long, and they stack and they're easy to put in a gym bag, put in your suitcase. I'll be traveling with these as well. And they're so versatile. Now, from the standpoint of your lower body, if you whether it's squatting, split squatting, lunging, if you elevate the heel, that allows people with really tight ankles to squat lower and deeper while keeping their trunk more upright. So less back and knee stress, more quad stress, particularly low quad stress. Also really important for bulletproofing and fortifying the knees. Many of you know I've had a history of knee issues, and in using them the last year, they've really helped me clean up some, you know, lingering issues from past surgeries that I continue to work on, just range of motion or just, you know, some clicking, cracking that might be in that joint from the wear and tear of my younger days. But it continues to kind of feed, and I feel rehabilitating, heal the knee over time. So it's just a really valuable tool, that unique training angle. Now, I could also do squats or even hip hinges by elevating the toes. on those wedgies or slant boards. And that's just going to enhance the stretch for the Achilles, the ankle, the calves, the hips, and the hamstrings, and allows you to take the same load or even your body weight and get more out of the movement. So again, anytime you can have something that's very small and portable, that like two of the most important exercises in the game, the push-up and the squat slash lunge or split squat, or just squatting variations in general, those two things combined with the pull-up bar, man, those are the big three. That's all you need at home. Obviously, we'll round things out with other stuff I'll talk about here, but you know, they're total game changers. It also will extend the range of motion off the floor a bit. There's newer models coming out to, I believe, going from a 15 to a 20 degree incline, and also some enhanced like built-in divots for grip. But the current models are also fantastic. I have to tell you, out of all the equipment I've recommended over the years, I have yet to get one negative piece of feedback from our members at thedailybj.com from these slant boards. Like, they love these squat wedgies. It's the gift that keeps on giving. People that say that they've always struggled to get their quads going or get into a push-up position, this is a game-changing tool. It's now a mandatory part of my home travel arsenal. And again, you can take these to the gym and use them. They go right in your gym bag. Just like my ultimate push-up guide, available as a Kindle or paperback on Amazon. Got to check that out. It'll be one of the best investments you ever make for yourself, that push-up stuff. And you'll see I have these push-up variations using the slant boards in the book because they're highly effective and we use them all the time. So what I love about them too is that they're less than $50. And you again, one of the big things, like, I like these to be under $100 ideally, you know. And again, you don't have to get all this stuff at once. You kind of pick and choose what you need, but it really enhances body weight training, helps you access unique training angles you couldn't otherwise. And I can't recommend it enough. And the feedback from members has been tremendous. Number four, med ball, specifically the Dynamax medicine ball. Now, rubber medicine balls are always at gyms, and you know, they tend to be cheap. You can buy this shit at Target if you want. There's versions of that on Amazon too. But I like the Dynamax ball for several key reasons in terms of why I think it's a superior medicine ball. You know, one, it's big enough so that when you hold it, your hands are about shoulder level. Smaller balls make it difficult, especially for bigger people with longer limbs, to do movements with it with both hands on the ball, because it just can be kind of tough on the shoulders. That wider shoulder width grip gives you just a better positioning, bringing stuff overhead or doing push-ups off of it or planks. Gives you more separation from the floor. It's also padded, so if it falls on you or drops on the foot or the face, you're good. The rubber ones can be, that can kind of mess up your face a little bit. And then you can hit it with your knees or your hands for various like plyometric drills. Just very joint friendly, body friendly, if you will. It's aesthetically pleasing. It's a beautiful looking medicine ball. It looks great in our home gym that I can see from the living room or the kitchen. Like, it's a look. Not everybody likes that look, but it's one of those things that I've noticed more and more. A trend is that, you know, for example, like we live in the desert. So to build out a garage gym, like, there'll be, when it's 120 degrees, even the best air conditioner can only get it to like 80 or 90 in there. It's just unlivable. It's not smart. It's not energy efficient. It's not good for the environment. So we already have a built-in climate in the house. So to make a home gym within the confines of your home instead of outside, or some people have a basement, that's nice. But again, we have a one level floor here. So, you know, that has to be factored in as well. So equipment that looks good, aesthetically pleasing, it just fits better in, it just plugs better into a home gym. And if your home prioritizes fitness and health, nothing will help you stay consistent with your health and fitness more than a space always ready to go. You feel my hips are tight. Go do a little lunge stretch on the parallel bars. All right. Or your back is tight, shoulders tight, hang from the bar. It's just there for you. That's, you know, a big part of my fitness system is EHO, every hour on the hour. That's mine, by the way. I created that term. I eventually might make that book at some point, but Anyway, you know, that means basically every hour in the hour during your workday, just hit a minute, at least a minute, maybe two or more if you have the time, of at least one movement, just to get that mobility built in. Mobility is really all that is essential or that matters. If you can move your body through a full range of motion, through the variety of movements of push, pull, squat, lunge, you're good. You might not be the biggest or strongest or fittest, but you will have longevity, you'll feel good, and you'll be less likely to have injuries. You'll have quality of life. So that helps as well. But you can slam these Dynamax balls. The main ball, you can slam it and it comes back up, which is good for situations where you're trying to get a lot of reps. They also have their own version of a slam ball where it dies when it hits the ground. You have to pick it up, and that makes it more challenging. You can't get as many reps, but it allows you to train max power. It also engages more of your posterior chain because you have to go down and pick it up versus the ball coming up to you. But you can get 10% off of all Dynamax medicine balls at medicineballs.com with my coupon code BJ10. And again, all links for this stuff we're talking about today are in the show notes. But I use the medicine balls too for breathing exercises. You know, I'll put the ball on my belly when I lay down, and especially if the ball is heavier. And I have the smaller ones that go from like 6 to 10, 20, 30 pounds. And I also have a big Atlas ball that's 50 pounds that actually I'm sitting on right now doing this podcast, because I can actually do some mobility and movement while I'm sitting and recording, so I don't get so tight. And it helps me kind of maintain my posture as well, more so than a desk. It also doesn't make noise like a chair will, so it doesn't pick up on the recording. And it lets me kind of sit into a parallel squat. The lower ball, and I'll use this watching TV too. I'll mix between the bigger ball, which also serves as kind of a weighted stability ball. And we do a bunch of drills like that lately at the dailybj.com programming. Free trial, free 7-day trial for Express, by the way. The lower ball lets me go into a deep squat, but I can actually sit on it and spend a lot of time there and kind of get some built-in mobility. Also, I'll sit on the floor. I think that's one of my favorite fitness recommendations is if you're going to sit at a variety of levels, you know, above parallel, parallel, below parallel, and then in a deep squat or on the floor. And that'll help you not get too tight and also just kind of get more mobility benefits without actually adding more time to your already busy schedule. But you know, med balls also allow you to train a lot of rotational and power drills. We got slams, chops, and halos, bringing the ball around your head. And then they can enhance, you know, basic movements like squats, you know, shin box positions. It helps actually a lot for mobility drills. Like if I'm in a shin box position, which is that kind of 90-90 shape on the floor, I can actually put it on a heavy ball on my trail leg, and it helps kind of sink it to the ground and give me some counterbalance to stay in that position longer. So it's if I put it on my belly when I breathe, it's my diaphragm has to resist to lift the ball up as I expand my belly. Or even, you know, if you are a chest breather, you can put it on your chest and it'll force you, because of the weight on the chest, you can't lift the chest as easy. It actually forces you to breathe through your belly more. But whether it's mobility, breathing, power, rotational training and core drills, you got to get yourself a Dynamax ball. My recommendation is start with, if you have to start with one ball, get like a 4 to 6 pounder. If you can get two or three, I'd recommend like, let's say a 4 to 6 pounder, a 10 to 12 pounder, and a 20 to 25 pounder. You have a heavy, medium, and light that allows you to do more intense, shorter work sets, to lighter, longer work sets, to doing drop sets, heavy, medium, light, or if you're training power, you want to go lighter. If you're training more strength, you want to go heavier. So it gives you some versatility, and you know, I it's a big part of what we do. Every month, we have a medicine ball workout in our Express program, because again, it travels well. By the way, easy to travel with. I'll be bringing my one or two medicine balls with me on my on our August trip that we'll be driving, you know, to. So big fan of that. Talking about versatility, resistance bands. You can get our bands at sleevesoldseparately.com. I got a direct link in there as well. Again, nothing is more portable, versatile, and convenient as a resistance band. They're so light, you can put it in a purse. Some of the smaller bands you can put in like one of those bigger wallets. I mean, and they're so joint friendly, because you know, the resistance increases as it stretches, and typical strength curves with exercises, It kind of unloads you in the more risky positions or extreme joint angles, or and then it allows you to really get peak tension at peak contraction. But also, it's very similar to the way your muscles work. As you stretch your muscles, they also pull back as the bands do. So it helps you train power and fast twitch fibers, but it's very low impact and very joint friendly. You can do so many drills with it: curls, split squats, add resistance to your bridges or hip thrusts. And I'm a big fan. Our band gym in a bag, which gives you four levels of resistance. The heavier band is good for more strength or lower reps or more, let's say, or strong, really big, strong people, but also more lower body exercises. Your legs are stronger than your upper body. And some of the smaller bands are good for more power or more isolation movements or more upper body stuff. Or again, newbies or smaller individuals. But ideally, you want a mix of band tensions based on the exercise you're doing, the set rep or work to rest protocol, what movements it's pairing with, and then what the goal is, right? So, but again, these are just things that, and again, bands allow you to access a lot of horizontal resistance vectors or movements that, you need like a cable machine at a gym to do. And so again, it's just, you can attach these, by the way, on a power rack, a stable pole. I attach them to sometimes dumbbells, heavy dumbbells that I can pin down to the floor. So it lends itself very well to what we're trying to do here. A mini band is also something you want to work in. I've got a link to various kind of fabric, stretchy mini band options on Amazon. I also like the Hip Halo. You can Google that. That's a really nice option as well. But you want one that, I don't like those really flimsy rubber ones. They tend to break, or like they'll just pop on you. And then they're also like not as comfortable on the skin. They kind of pull on your hair. These more fabric-based, thicker, wider setups on Amazon I have linked to are much easier. They come multiple levels of resistance too. Putting either above or below the knees allows you to kind of auto-correct your squat form, get more lateral hip activation. We wear them oftentimes when it's good for bridges too, or hip thrusts, shuffle walks, and also excellent even for push-ups. One of the movements in the Ultimate Push-Up Guide is a mini band push-up, where you put the mini band above the elbows. It actually helps auto-correct your push-up form, help you engage more of your back, and also it kind of assists you out of the bottom of the push-up, because as it stretches, it slingshots you back up. So it does have upper body, various shoulder drills you can work in as well. Super portable. We wear them a lot doing our boxing training, because it helps you maintain the ideal stance, staggered stance within your boxing. Again, you also just get more glute work out of it as well, besides the auto-correcting of the form. If you're prone to having your knees collapse in, a mini band will help you keep those knees out and really minimize the risk of injury while also plumping that peach. Plump that peach! All right? So big bands or continuously looped resistance bands, and then a mini band. These are affordable. Take them with you anywhere. And we always have at least one resistance band workout monthly at thedailybj.com. It sneaks also into various Gorilla Corn Gains workouts as well. One of my favorite drills is just taking a band and doing, you could do 10 to 20 band pull-aparts with your arms straight to really improve your posture, smoke the upper back, alleviate shoulder pain, or if you're someone who has just bench pressed and done so many push-ups without working the opposing muscles, it can really help you in that regard as well. And you can actually work it into your EHO every hour on the hour mobility as well. It can also be a mobility and postural correction tool that you can take with you to work if you don't work remote or from home. Next one, a box or a step. Now there's two options and I have both. One is an adjustable aerobic step with riser, and you can just adjust the risers up or down as needed for whatever movement you're trying to do. It allows you to, for those newer to push-ups, you can elevate your hands on really high risers. Let's say you have 8 risers on each side. And then you can slowly work your way down to the floor one riser at a time over time, and progressively increase the amount of body weight involved in the exercise and build your strength that way. But it also allows you to do, box squats or Bulgarian split squats with your back leg on the riser, or step-ups. You can change your body angle for planks and push-ups. So it's just kind of a staple. Now, I also am a big fan of the adjustable plyo box, and I have one. I have a link here for one that's various options. You can get the wooden one, which is what I have, and it's like based on which side you put it on. It has three different heights. I believe a 20-inch, 24, and 30-inch. And that allows you to do a variety of different heights for step-ups, but also the other drills we've already talked about. If you can, get one that is padded, just so that you're less likely to, if you fall or slip, get tripped up. You know, anything can happen. The padded version is going to be more friendly to those types of accidents. And, you know, just if you're doing barefoot drills or those types of things. I have the wooden one. It works great, but it might be, in some cases, more aesthetically pleasing. But like if I get a new one, I'm probably going to get the padded option, especially if you do like box jumps on it and then you step down, a little lower impact as well. So that the only issue with that is that it's going to be too high for, in some cases, the box squatting or, you know, you can't elevate your foot on that high of a box for a Bulgarian or rear foot elevated split squat. So, you know, if you can get both, great. Otherwise, if I had to pick one, it's almost like I'd say go with the, you can also, by the way, on these adjustable plyo boxes, you can go with heavier dumbbells or weights in a way that you might not trust with more of the aerobic step, which really is designed to be used with mostly body weights. But you also can't seamlessly adjust the height up or down in those small one riser increments like you can on the aerobic step. And the step up, if you get it just for step ups alone, it's worth it. But I find myself doing a ton of hip mobility exercises using the higher box for my hamstrings, my hip flexors, my glutes. If you're bigger, it actually allows you a little more leverage to really enhance the stretch. So again, mobility tool, lower body training tool, core and upper body training tool. It's an important part of a home gym. It doesn't take a lot of space, very portable. I often bring it inside and outside based on what I'm looking to do or time of year. Number 7, fitness sliders. Now you can go the cheap route, go to Home Depot and get just furniture sliders, which they're the exact same thing, but I like the SKLZ sliders. I have a link there that you can get on Amazon. There's other options there too. Some designs are more of the shape of a foot. Others are more circular. I like these SKLZ ones that you see I use in the videos because it's like a big waffle iron. So it works well for both the hands and the feet. It gives me more surface area, especially if you have bigger hands, bigger feet. And you can use these on carpet, on most, I can even use them on my rubber training floor, but the friction is pretty high. So they work great on artificial turf, carpet, and really SKLZ works on almost any surface. But if it's a higher friction surface, it's harder to do the movement. So it actually really increases the resistance to the point where some movements may not be as accessible, like a sliding leg curl. By the way, my favorite hamstring exercise because it works both functions of the hamstring. The high hamstrings in hip extension and the low hamstrings with knee flexion. Very important for knee health, running, walking, sprint performance. And again, you can easily travel with these anywhere you want. And great for home setups. You just bring a small personal carpet over to your gym floor as well to do the work around if you have rubber floor, even though you can use them on rubber floor. Just again, more friction. So what's so great about sliding movements is that, you know, it allows you to stay connected with the floor, but work, you know, whether it's a sliding lunge or a sliding push-up or a sliding leg curl, you work the complete range of motion of the exercise and the floor provides friction, but you stay connected to the floor as well. So it allows you to sustain a contraction, train movement patterns in a really unique way. I much prefer it over a stability ball leg curl or just using the stability ball in general. I just find it to be a more effective training tool. And again, easy to travel with. I don't have to blow it up or have it take up a lot of space. You can put it under a cabinet or you put it in a gym bag, you know, and take it with you. But again, there's some really key exercises that you can unlock through these kind of sliding friction-based movements on the ground. So I definitely recommend that as well. Number 8 is dumbbells. Now, we do 2 dumbbell workouts a month at thedailybj.com. And, you know, one of them is a single dumbbell workout. The other is a double dumbbell workout. But they're set up in a way that all you would need is a pair of 10 to 25 pound dumbbells total for all of them. Now, an ideal setup, you would have let's say the ability to have like a pair of 5 to 10s, light dumbbells, if you will, maybe a pair of 25s and then a pair of 50s. And maybe you get one big 100-pound dumbbell for really strong people. That's what I have. I have a pair of 10s, a pair of 5s, pair of 10s, pair of 25s, pair of 50s, and 100-pound bell. And among that, I can do anything I want to do. Obviously, these things can get expensive with shipping. So you can go on Facebook Marketplace if you want. I've got links, but I recommend the, if you're going to go individual dumbbells, I like the rubber hex dumbbells because they won't damage your floor as much. And the hex allows you to kind of do things like T push-ups and push-up rows with stability because of the edges. It allows you to actually put them on the floor and they don't slide or roll on you like the more circular options. You could also just invest, and I have these two, a pair of adjustable Bowflex or Power Block dumbbells. And, those are great because you can adjust them in 2.5-pound increments. You can even get plate mates that you put on them that keep it at the same weight, but allows it to be like a 3/4 of a pound heavier or 1.25 pounds heavier, or again, you can micro load in a way that's really unique, very space efficient, can be a little bit cumbersome when fully loaded. Or if you go with like the 50s and less are like great. You go like hundreds or heavier, they get really big when fully loaded. So it can kind of be it might bump into your body a bit more, just be hard to hold or move around with. But again, there's pros and cons to all of this. If you can afford it, you can get like an adjustable pair of 25 to 50 pound bells and then just get like maybe rubber hex versions of the dumbbells you find yourself using the most. I use the pair of 25s the most because I can also use 2 25-pound dumbbells to make it a 50 for a goblet squat or a front squat. That might be a consideration there as well because they can stay small and allows you to kind of stay more versatile with it. But, dumbbells allow you to train strength with minimal equipment. They're actually in some cases superior to barbells for muscle gain because you can train each arm independently to work on imbalances between sides, maintain symmetry, and you also can get through a bigger range of motion as well with bells versus barbell. So it also kind of allows you to kind of pick a natural range of motion because when both arms are connected to the bar, you're kind of fixed a bit with your movement. So big fan of dumbbells. I use dumbbells the least in my training, but it is a way to use some external loading. I kind of use dumbbells just to enhance my body weight work or work more of that open chain versus, many body weight exercises, hands on floor, feet on floor, bar are closed chain because you're fixed to that surface or equipment. But with dumbbells, you're moving in open space, you get some really good stability work. And I just think it's a great complement to a body weight foundation, but you don't need to go super heavy, especially when you know how to structure workouts properly to make lightweight feel heavy, especially like we do at GorillaCornGains.com. Last couple here, kettlebells. They're not mandatory. I think in most cases, because of how much skill is involved with the kettlebell and learning how to use it, and the fact that they tend to jump up in 4 kilogram or I guess close to 9-pound increments, the jumps can be too big and you got to get a lot of them, but they still remain pretty space efficient. You get a lot of miles out of them. I like them for swings in particular because of the offset nature of the bell. You've got the handle and then you got the big bell. It creates a more of a pendulum effect for a more natural swinging style. Great for sumo deadlifts because you'll tend to contact with the ground in a very safe range of motion, where with some dumbbells, like you can't get all the way to the ground and, some people like to force it and kind of push and you can kind of hurt your back that way. Or just, of course, you can just only go down as low as you can without touching the floor using dumbbells. But the kettlebell, sometimes it just feels good to get the ground contact or to actually lift from a dead stop. But, in most cases, we lean towards more dumbbell drills because they're just safer, more accessible. Sometimes kettlebells aren't an option in all gyms. They tend to be in most gyms, hotel and commercial. But, in that case, again, just like the medicine ball, I would just get like a light, medium, heavy, maybe a 12, a 16, and a 24, a good place to start for most people, or you could go 8. You can go 8, 12, 16 if you're a smaller individual, or if you're a bigger individual, you might go, let's say, 16, 24, and 36, so there's options. But if you're going to pick one weight that will allow you to kind of access most of the movements. In most cases, it'll be between a 16 and 24 kilogram bell. But in most cases, you can modify with dumbbells. You can even modify with dumbbell swings. Again, it doesn't feel as natural of a movement, but if you're going to pick one or the other, I'd go dumbbells. I find them to be more versatile, user-friendly, and accessible to most trainees. But I love the Kettlebell Kings bells. And I recommend the competition bell because though it's bigger, it's got a wider handle for bigger hands or if you're going to grip two hands on the bell. Sometimes the smaller bells, if I grab with two hands, I can't get all my hands or fingers on it. So I got a link for there as well. Finishing off here, mobility massage tools. Like if there's two you're going to get, I get the peanut massage ball and then just a basic foam roller. The one you start with depends on your current tissue quality. If you have really, you never foam rolled before, you might want to get more of the less dense kind of, they look like bigger pool noodles. That might be a place to start. I like the more dense, aggressive foam rollers like the Rumble roller or the Trigger Point roller because I just get, it really digs into those tissues and I've got big, thick muscles, so I need that. But I've also been doing it for a long time and I'm massage is a regular practice for me. So you want to progress your rollers like you progress your movements or exercises. So if you pick one that is too hard and too many edges or teeth on it initially, you probably, it'll be too painful and you won't even use it. But it's a critical part of, you know, the recovery process. If you have knots and excessive tension in areas of your muscles, you're more prone to both acute and chronic joint issues, and it'll help you send blood to the muscles and smooth them out for more pain-free range of motion as well. I love the peanut massage ball for, in particular, rolling out my plantar fascia at the bottom of my foot. I'll use it for flexion gapping where I'll put it underneath my knee and then I'll stack my calf and hamstring together to kind of help clear space in that knee hinge joint. And very portable as well. You don't have to get a full roller, just get a half foam roller, by the way, because again, that'll travel well too. But if you're really going higher end mobility massage-wise, two big places to look are both Hyperice and Theragun. They have the percussion massagers. They have, Hyperice in particular, has the vibrating heating pads for knee, elbow, shoulder, back, hip. They have the Normatec compression wear, air compression wear for legs, hips, arms. There's a full recovery suite there that can get a bit expensive. But again, basics, a peanut massage ball and a foam roller is all you need to start doing some basic mobility massage work. But these are the 10 things that are like a staple in terms of what I use on a daily, weekly basis. They work well in a very small home gym setup. You can travel with them. You can take them to the gym. Obviously you're not probably bringing the step with you, but if you get the aerobic step, that actually is pretty portable too. You know, if you're going to drive somewhere for a getaway and want to do your training there at a special location or don't want to risk going to the gym at the place you're staying, almost all of these are super portable, versatile, and can allow you to do full body workouts to build muscle, burn fat, and boost metabolism, you know, and you can do it in a very short period of time. They look great. And again, you see my space. It's a very small 8x12 foot space, and you'll see all of these in all the videos. I have it kind of set up around the corner, a nice little perimeter to allow for a big open space where we train. And just can't recommend it enough. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I've got all the links to the stuff I've talked about in the show notes. Again, I recommend signing up for the newsletter that we have at bjgador.com, where I share exclusive content and also direct links or written versions of some of the podcasts we do here. I also really recommend you check out my brand new training guide, The Ultimate Push-Up Guide on Amazon as a Kindle or paperback. It's either $10 or $20, whether you're going with the Kindle or the paperback. And five levels of progression go from ground zero to superhero on one of the most iconic movements in the game, the push-up. Not just an upper body exercise, not just a chest exercise, not just a core exercise. It's a full body exercise, and it's one you can do anytime, anywhere, and take with you. Home gym, at work, airports, airplanes. Like, I love that style of training because of the accessibility. Most programs that get dependent on really high-end equipment, they're prone to lots of stops and starts or interruptions because things come up. You travel or you can't get to the gym some days. That's the benefit of having these, even if you're not going all in home gym, having a home gym fallback option on days you can't make it to the gym, a snow day, a bad weather day, a pandemic, whatever it is, it can keep you in the game. And that's really the key, is the consistency of it. Having a home base you can always fall back upon. It does save a lot of time, and the back and forth, even with a 5-minute gym, a gym 5 minutes away, 10 minutes total of travel time, not including packing your bag up, you know, getting in and out of the car, finding the equipment you need to start your workout, et cetera, right? There's a lot of hidden costs that pile up when times are really tight for you and your schedule. So I hope this helped. If you've never seen my home gym, just check out some of the videos at BJ Gador on all social media outlets, or obviously all the content you see at thedailybj.com. A 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. It helps us get out to more good people like you. And if you have any the ability on Spotify, you can actually drop me a voice message with a question, a request, a comment, and no guarantees, but I may consider adding it to the show. So all you got to do is, just if you're using Spotify or even iTunes, it can link you to where to go and make a voice memo. But you just kind of, in the episode you're listening, you just kind of swipe up and you kind of take a look and see. It tells you where to go to leave your message. But anyway, hope you enjoyed this one. Have a good rest of your day. Love you guys. Peace.